and I wanted this recorded because I think it's so important that this week that has been such a trial for so many is one of the times when I have seen God at work in his church. And if you could have been here, or if you were here, or if you did things during this past week to help with food, or to help with serving, or to help with moving chairs, or to help with cleaning, or all the different things, it just astounded me to see you working. You don't normally do it, just because it was just such a witness and such a testimony to this community. And I really pray that as many people did filter through this church this past week, that they were made to feel welcome and that it is a place where they can come in a time of need. We're going to be talking today about Peter. And Peter is probably the biblical character with whom I most identify. I've said that before, I'm sure. And among the things that Peter did that I kind of identify with is this. He ran hot and cold. He stuck his foot in his mouth more than once. He made promises that he didn't keep. And even though he was close to Jesus, he messed up a lot. Regularly he did that. And that's where I identify with Peter. But then there's this. Even though he did all those things, he was still used of God. And Peter was used mightily of God. Other than Judas, Peter's is probably the most widely known failure in terms of his ministry and so on. But I want to stress again that all of the disciples fled. And by doing that, they also denied Jesus. I want to ask you this, and nobody has to raise a hand or nod a head or anything like that. Just examine your own hearts, if you would. Have you ever denied Jesus? For most of us, if we were asked by someone directly, do you know Jesus? We would say yes. But a lot of times we deny him with our silence. Sometimes we deny him in our actions. We deny him in our lack of faith and trust. And if that doesn't hit home this week, it really ought to. We deny him with our lack of commitment to him. This is a little tougher one for me to talk about, but we deny him with our lack of giving. And I just complimented the church and praised God for the church because of what they gave in this past week. But I didn't know this until our business meeting, and just got to tell you, January was a tough month for Emmanuel Baptist Church. The weather and various other things kept people away, and because of the lower attendance, we got a shortfall in January of several thousand dollars. And I don't like to talk about money, but I wanted to say this. Just because you're not here doesn't mean that the church ceases to operate. The lights are still on. The heat is still on. Salaries are still paid. All the expenses of a church go on. And so I just want you to think about that. Sometimes we deny Jesus because we don't give. And I heard a preacher say this one time, and it's true. What we give here isn't rental space for the pew. And as you found out recently, you don't always get the pew you used to sit in, you know. It's not rental. It is giving. And it should go on. One of the things that I read from one of my pastor friends about this past week, considering whether or not to call off services and having a live broadcast of the service, even though nobody was there, they were concerned about giving. If people aren't here, how do they give? And it's really important that we recognize just because we're gone doesn't mean we shouldn't give. Anyway, all of that is just to show that Peter is not the only one to have denied Jesus. We're all guilty at one time or another. I really believe that. So we're going to look at today's passage, which is Mark chapter 14, two different sections, verse 54 and then verses 66 through 72. I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand. Verse 54 to start with, but Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now down to 66. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you were saying." And he went out onto the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." A second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. I do want to encourage you on this National Day of Prayer to spend time personally, privately, as your family, whatever, in prayer, because I know that there's a lot of things that we probably didn't touch on. Verse 54 that I just read was in last week's passage, but I wanted to address it in context with today's passage as well. The fact that Peter is mentioned specifically as having gone into the courtyard and no other disciple is mentioned here, it doesn't mean that nobody else went. In fact, it's very possible that others did. And in the Gospel of John's account, it just says that another disciple also went into the courtyard and even went further than Peter did, which tends to make me think it was John, because John always outdid Peter just a little bit, you know. But whether or not he was there, the assumption is that there was probably more than one. Still, the only one who's mentioned by name as having gone into the courtyard with Jesus is Peter. And Peter had protested vigorously, you might remember, "I will never deny you. Even if I have to die, I will follow you," and so on. And it might be, in Peter's mind at least, the fact that he has at least gone into that courtyard, followed Jesus that far, so he might be thinking to himself, "See, I did follow you. I did stay with you." Well, even if he did think that, he wasn't going to go as far as Jesus had gone, obviously. Peter was brave enough to follow the crowd, and he was brave enough to be there as they took Jesus into the place where he was going to be tried. But then it turns out that he's not brave enough to admit his relationship with Jesus. And in verse 66 again, it says, "Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came." I sometimes have a hard time remembering somebody if I see them out of context. And let me give you an example. If you are a married couple who has only recently started coming here, and I see one of you in the toilet paper aisle at Walmart, for example, I may not know you. And the reason I don't is because my context is the two of you. And that context is here. And so when I see you somewhere else, sometimes I don't necessarily know who you are. And I apologize for that, but it's just kind of hard for me sometimes to put everybody a face with every name and vice versa. And for those of you who have several children, I literally go home and practice their names so that I can get them right, you know. And I want you all to know that I really appreciate those of you who named your children alphabetically. It helps me to keep them in order, you know. I don't know if anybody did that on purpose or not, but some people did. But the point of it is, I don't always know everybody when I see them. And here it is, Peter, in the courtyard, probably felt a little bit anonymous there. Because he probably felt like any time people came to see Jesus, they came to see Jesus, and they didn't notice who was in the background or who was accompanying him there, and they wouldn't surely notice him here. Obviously, some people are more observant than others, and some people have better memories than others. And this particular servant girl was both observant and had a good memory. Because in verse 67, it says, "And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with Jesus of Nazareth.'" Now, everybody who's gathered in that courtyard, and we don't know how many there were, but there was a lot of people there, no doubt. And everybody who was there knew what was going on. They knew that Jesus had been arrested. They knew that he's now in the presence of the high priest, that he's going to be taken to Pilate, the governor. And many of those people were there because they had been alerted to the fact that this arrest was going to take place. So everybody who was there, likely, had seen Jesus be dragged into that courtyard. And the servant girl's statement here isn't like, oh, you are also with Jesus, or something like that. It's more like this. Hey, this guy was with him. He's guilty too. Now, that's not what the words say, but that's the accusation that's being made. He's one of them. Maybe you should seize him as well. And so in verse 68, Peter denied it, and he said, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. Now, that first part of it there, I don't know or understand what you're saying. She just said you were with him. Were you or weren't you? Yes or no? And then it says he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. It's hard for me to imagine that Peter wouldn't have recognized instantly the significance of that, because Jesus had told him. Nobody likes to be confronted with their failures. Most people are not very good about admitting when they're wrong, or at least I'm not. And once again, I identify with Peter in that regard. And Peter's first reaction here to having been recognized is denial. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even understand what you're talking about. In reality, like I said, probably there were not a lot of people in that courtyard, and every one of them had probably been with Jesus at some point. They may have walked down one of the market streets, or they may have been in the temple together, or they may have been in one of the places where one of the miracles were performed, or they might have been in the group of people who were fed by the fish and the loaves. So technically, they'd all been with Jesus in a lot of different ways. The chief priests and their minions had been with him as they followed him all over the place. But the servant girl didn't mean just that I saw you and Jesus pass by in Grand Central Station. It was more to the point, you are one of them. You are one of his closest followers. She recognized him. And so Peter lied, and he ran away, or walked away. He heard the rooster crow, and that really should have been his very first wake-up call. Roosters typically crow early in the morning, and in the times that I've been around roosters, it doesn't matter about the sun, it doesn't matter about daylight saving time, it just means that the roosters are going to crow, right? And you never know when. So we don't know exactly what time of day this was when Peter was out there in the courtyard, but back in verse 30 of this same chapter, Jesus said, you will deny me three times before the rooster crows twice. I still run into people who disagree with me on this, and you're welcome to disagree, and you're welcome to be wrong, but thank you for that sign, Gene. I would agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong, right? But the thing of it is, Jesus knows what's going to happen. And some people don't accept that. Some people think, well, if he knew that these terrible things were going to happen, he'd stop them. He doesn't cause these things, but he knows they're going to happen. And I think this is perhaps one of the greatest illustrations of that very thing. He not only knew what Peter would do, he knew what the rooster would do. He knew that the rooster would crow twice. He knew that in that time period, Peter would deny Jesus three times. He knows these things, and he told him that long before this ever happened. Verse 69, and the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. Now, other accounts say a different female came along and said, this is one of them, but Mark says it's the same servant girl. Peter left the crowd. He's out standing on the porch, but she saw him again. And this time, she didn't confront Peter by saying, you were one of them. She goes to the others and says, this guy was one of them. He's one of them that was with Jesus. And we might wonder why it was so important to this girl, or maybe two girls, if in fact that's the case, so important to her that Peter be exposed. I don't know this from Scripture, but I know this from human nature. I've seen it. I've done it. If we know something that other people don't know, we want to tell them. We want it to be known. We want to be the first to bring the news. And so this girl maybe was looking for just a little bit of recognition. I know something you don't know. Peter was with him. We want to get the word out. And to be honest, we sometimes like to get the credit for being the first one. News is one thing, but gossip's an entirely different thing. This wasn't gossip, it was true. The servant girl seems to be intent on spreading the news and on getting credit for it. So she confronted Peter, and now she wants to make sure that those who stood by also knew about it. I'm guilty. But I want all of us to consider our motivation for passing along information. Why do we want to do that? Are we looking for credit? Are we hoping to create problems? I don't think it, surely we wouldn't do that. But I also want you to consider this from Peter's standpoint. Why is it that when we are confronted with our own wrongdoing, we don't want to face it? We don't want to accept responsibility. And Peter chose not to accept responsibility. So in verse 70, it says, but he denied it again. And this first part here is denial number two, really belong with the previous thing. But we're not given specific words here in Mark, but in Matthew, the second denial was accompanied by these words. I tell you, I do not know the man. And I said before, I think each time it gets just a little bit louder, a little bit more aggressive. I don't know him. The first denial was, I don't even understand what you're talking about. This one is, I don't know this man specifically. Now, it's easy to claim general ignorance, but Peter is getting specific here. I don't know this particular man that you're talking about. There's a lot of different ways that you and I likely deny Jesus, that we proclaim that we don't know him. Even though we do, and even though we're here proclaiming that we know him, but here's just a few examples of how we deny that we know Jesus. Speaking evil of others. Speaking words that are unkind or untruthful. Pursuing sinful pleasures. Conforming to the world. Here's two that hit me right square in the heart. Having doubt, worrying. And this last one really hits me hard. The love of your own opinion. I didn't make that list up. I read it somewhere. But essentially, those are some ways that we deny Jesus. And essentially what we do is we deny Jesus every single time we sin. We're denying him. Peter's famous or maybe infamous for his denials, but I believe most of us stand guilty as well. Now this third time, I didn't read the rest of the verse, and a little later those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. He's called out for being associated with Jesus because he talks differently. And it's kind of, Jim's back there, it's kind of like if I know of somebody who is from Minnesota, you know, I can tell. Or somebody who is from Wisconsin, you know. And I'm not making fun, I'm just saying those are things that we recognize, or from Alabama, or even from St. Louis, you know. And a lot of people can recognize that we're from Northwest Missouri because we talk like we do, all right? We speak with accents that we grew up with, and evidently the people from Galilee had an accent, and Peter spoke like someone from Galilee. But this time, denying Jesus is one thing, but Peter went even a step further in verse 71. Then he began to curse and to swear. And he said, I do not know this man of whom you speak. So he adds the sin of swearing and cursing to his denial, maybe just to make it for real. Somebody who followed Jesus wouldn't curse and swear, would they? What could have been so wrong in saying, "Yeah, I know him"? At this point, though, Peter probably had no idea of what was going on behind that closed door where Jesus was. And he might be thinking that Jesus is in there ratting them all out, saying, "Hey, my friends are right outside, go get them." He would never have done that, but that might be what's going through Peter's head. He might have been thinking that the chief priest is torturing Jesus and forcing him to give names. Peter feared, if not for his life necessarily, at least for his safety and his freedom. I'm not trying to excuse it. We shouldn't do that. We should trust in the Lord. So why do we deny Jesus? Why is it so hard to let people know that we're Christian? Why is it so hard sometimes to pray in a crowded restaurant? Why is it so hard to tell somebody that doesn't know Jesus about your beliefs and to say, "I am praying for you"? Why is it so hard for us to actually pray for someone? I had it happen this week. When people would say, "I'm praying for you," and then they would stop and actually pray for me this past week. And I can't tell you how much that means to me. Why is it so hard to do that? Why is it so hard for us to confess that we do indeed know this man? Well, for centuries, the sun's been coming up every morning, and roosters crowing used to be the way that we woke up. That was our wake-up call, were roosters. I looked this up. There was the very first alarm clock was created or invented or whatever in the 15th century. So maybe Christopher Columbus had one on the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria, I don't know. But certainly back in those days, nobody would have said, "Alexa, wake me up at 6:15. It just didn't happen. They had wake-up calls. People went to bed at sundown back in those days and got up with sunrise in most cases, but roosters are going to crow. They're just going to crow. If you've ever lived near one, you know that. So in verse 72, a second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. First wake-up call wasn't enough for Peter. And I wonder about you and me. How many times do we have to hear a wake-up call before we recognize the truth of it? I've used this illustration a lot of times, but Jesus, I really believe, gives us this little gentle tap on the shoulder. That's our first wake-up call. And if we ignore it, I think he gives us a little push. If we ignore that, I think he whops us upside the head. And I've been whopped upside the head a lot in my lifetime because I didn't pay attention to the first wake-up calls. For Peter, this rooster crowing twice was a smack upside the head. And when he finally realized what he'd done, he wept. We're told in Luke that he wept bitterly. He recognized his colossal failure, his sin, in denying Jesus. Some people never get past the recognition of their failures. They consider that, okay, I've failed. Nothing I can do now because I'm a failure. But we know that Peter became an incredible preacher and a witness of Christ. And in this week's hustle and bustle, I forgot to include the scripture that I had read to you earlier. What was it even? I can't find it right now, but it says basically that Jesus said to Peter, "Satan has asked to sift you like wheat." But then I love this part. Jesus said, "But I have prayed for you." Now that's the first beautiful part of that passage. He prays for us. Jesus prays for you. Isn't that incredible? And then he said, and again, I wish I had it up here in front of me. I can't remember it. But he says, "When you return," not if, not after you've gone through rehab or whatever else, but "when you have returned to me, thank you, strengthen your brethren." And folks, I really think that's part of the whole reason why Peter failed, is because it strengthened him. And he came back from that failure and preached, and 3,000 people were added to the church in a single day. Lives were changed because of Peter. Spent a lot of time talking about Peter and his failures. I'd really like to have time to spend to talk about what God did through him. You and I may focus on failures that we've had, but what is it that God is preparing you to do despite those failures? Don't deny him. I just really pray that we can see this. Even failing miserably is not the end. Peter's journey is not yet complete. Neither is mine, neither is yours. What plans does God have for you in the midst of all of these trials that are going on right now? Don't deny him. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you so much for the word that you've given us today. And Lord, I know so many times when we read this passage and we think about, I think we're a lot like Peter. We would say, oh, I would never do that. And yet we do. But God, despite the failures, despite the difficulties, despite the things that we go through, Lord, where we are not the example that we should be, you pick us up again and you help us to get back on track. Lord, I pray for everyone here today that we would, first of all, not deny you, but more than that, Lord, that we would just carry you with us everywhere we go. God, I pray that if there be one here today who's never accepted you, it doesn't matter what good things we might do, what we might think that we've accomplished in our lives, none of that is good enough to get us into heaven. The only thing that gets us into heaven is knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. And Lord, we deny you many times by simply not accepting you. We deny the need that we have of you. Help each one here, Lord, recognize we need you. We must have you. And I pray again, Lord, if there be one here today that's never done that, let this be the day. For the rest of us, Lord, let us get about the business of getting past our failures and to strengthen the brethren. I just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.